Hi, in today's episode, we have Sreela Chatterjee. Sreela worked for 25 years in the advertising film industry before she decided to turn entrepreneur. In 1989, she joined Highlight Films. However, 25 years down the line, she wanted to shift gears. Sreela has always been passionate about art and design, especially Indian art. At Highlight Films, she would dress up the sets, organize public arts festival and style homes for friends. She's also curated the famous Kalaghora Arts Festival in its early days and co-founded Blue Frog, one of the most iconic music spaces in the country. Sreela has been interested in the process of craft and creation and a recent venture, Baro. Yes, it's called Baro. A furniture, art and lifestyle store was born with the vision of a seamless union of aesthetics, ethics and ergonomics. So she started Baro at 12 Sunmill, Lower Parel, Mumbai. And Baro means 12 in Bangla. Sreela is the curator and Siddharth the designer. Welcome, Sreela.
Thank you.
So Sreela, let's just talk about the start of your journey. I mean, it's obviously extremely brave to shift from, you know, the kind of work that you were doing to starting Baro, because I don't know how many people really understand the entire hard work, the intricacy behind art and craft. It is still a very, very nascent space. And in India, I don't know how many people would be very kind towards the prices that goes behind, you know, the kind of pieces that you produce. So what was that moment of awakening for you?
Actually, Baro moved on to one more avatar, which is the current one, which the pandemic hit us last year. Baro didn't survive the pandemic because we just could not afford the rents we were paying. So we shut Baro down and I took on Baro Market. And that's what I'm doing now, which is really concentrating on all kinds of handmade and special products, small brands, all kinds of artisans and craftspeople and what they make. For the present, we're online because there weren't many options. But the idea is to showcase as much of special things, things that I feel very passionate about, and to have that travel or move. We're going with the flow because I don't think anybody at this point of time really knows what the world is like or it's going to be like. But that's the idea. But to go back to your question about transitions, I think that's really an attitude and what you want to do. I loved, let's say, at least half my career in film production and advertising film production. We were really like the standard in the whole business. I worked with the best directors and we had incredible work and it was an incredible experience. And the second half started being really tedious. The way it changed, the way people thought about it changed, relationships changed. And I hated the fact that I kept doing it because we were successful, but I didn't like what I was doing. But I felt I was obligated to support the directors that I was producing for. I think the key moment in your life when you can take decisions about change is when you actually are not motivated by the money. And that's what happened to me. I didn't care whether I was going to make a lot of money or not. I cared more about what I was doing. I was lucky enough to be in that situation to take that decision that I accept. I had made the money I needed for a lot of things before that. I didn't have children whose lives I had to be responsible for, et cetera, et cetera. But eventually, it still is a decision you have to take. And that completely frees you to really do what you want to do. And so by that time, I'd really had enough of production and what I was doing. And lots of different... And I've always been interested, involved in doing something with craft, art, design, etc. And so various things fell into place. And that's how I just changed tack with what I was doing.
So tell me a little about your childhood. Because I think, you know, this whole art, this affinity towards the art, I would assume that it also comes from the community you come from. Being a Bengali, being raised, in homes where there's such an influence of art all around. I mean, it's all across India. But I think, being a Bengali myself, I wasn't even aware of how, you know, things were handmade at home and, the clothing that my Thakurma, my Dida, my mother, everybody wore. So tell us a little about your childhood and some of the memories that you have from the time that they've stayed stuck in your head.
Well, I grew up in Calcutta and I think much more than being Bengali, I'm Calcuttan, which is hugely different.
We would love to know the difference.
Well, the difference is Calcutta is by far the most cosmopolitan place, or was the most cosmopolitan place in India. And I grew up in that environment. And it was in my growing up, you didn't know the differences between people and you didn't care. I mean, our differences as a child was, you know, there were it became Bengali. Anybody who was from the south was Madrasi and everybody else was called Punjabi. I mean, you didn't know and you didn't care. And it was, and I came from a very cosmopolitan family, although the vast majority of my blood is Bengali. It isn't all Bengali. And I had very illustrious great-grandparents who were freedom fighters, but they came from Bangladesh, what is now Bangladesh. And one, my great-grandmother was English. So it was very, very complex. And as a result, my upbringing was like that. And I don't think it was unusual. It was very common in Calcutta to grow up like that. And I think that there were very different values we grew up with from people I see who are around me, contemporaries in Bombay or even children now. And I think you were always considered phenomenal for your ideas. It wasn't about how much money you had, or, you know, the showing off wasn't about that. The showing off as kids was what better things were being done for your, you know, your birthday parties. What were the games that were being invented, or what were the going home presents that you and your mom was making, and at holiday time, what were the activities that I grew up in a family of four children, so there were lots of us. And I don't think I had a particular emphasis on art, but yes, there is art everywhere. And somewhere intrinsically, it must have come into me. But I think So I grew up in Calcutta, and it was very different, I think, from growing up anywhere else, which I discovered over the years. Calcutta was far more cosmopolitan than any other place in India at the time. And we never really had differences between people. It was always about what you did, much more than, you know, who you were, or where you came from. And I think I also had a very cosmopolitan family, so that added a lot to it. And then my father was an architect, and my mother was a specialist in teaching methods for children. So both those were very creative influences. Architecture for obvious reasons, and my mom working with young children always used us as experiments. And so all the things we did, from birthday parties to craft classes on days off to concerts and plays and stuff we do in the holidays, always made us feel and made other people feel that we were really very special children, because we had all this going on and other people joined, and it was open to other people to come to. So I don't think I ever thought about art as art per se. You grew up surrounded by it in Calcutta everywhere.
Absolutely.
From, you know, every puja, there's decoration everywhere.
Absolutely.
From even a wedding invitation to the way a bride's face has chandan, which you don't have somewhere else. And, you know, so there's decoration in everything, even the way a shandesh is made. I mean, the same shandesh can have four or five different forms, and
yeah,
all it is
bowls.
Making it beautiful. Yeah. So all of that, I suppose, sinks into you, even if you're not thinking about it. And it was only when I was older that I actually started understanding and appreciating it. As a child, we used to run away during the Durga Puja because it was chaotic and you wanted to go away on holiday. And only when I was much older did I want to go back there at that time, because I wanted to go and see the art in every single one of the pandals. It's a different perspective, but it comes from an influence that you've already been infused with.
So it's really interesting when you say this to me, because, you know, I was just talking to also Noinika Chatterjee, and you both share the same surname. And for me also, I don't know what it is about us that, you know, when you grow older, you keep going back something that you probably take for granted. And you probably do not give so much of value to these little things that you speaking about, you know, is something that I've had the same exposure to. My pishi used to make the shandesh at home, you know, whenever there was any BA. And these big fish shandesh used to be made because there were huge molds of different sizes. And they used to make it at home and, you know, this whole exposure. So when do you think this whole change in you came about when you started saying exactly what you said about Durga Puja, that I too did not take this seriously. I'm a Probashi Bangali. I grew up in Delhi, you know. And it's just now that I miss the khichuri and the bhog prasad. Because I think, you know, you can make it at home, you can do it anywhere, but you will never get that same taste back. Do you think it is the nostalgia that we all have?
No, in particular with Durga Puja, that's not true for me because I'm an absolute heathen. I mean, I have the Marxist attitude to religion. So it's not religious and there's no nostalgia. It's just really the art that I'm just blown away by. So I actually go, the few times I've been in the last few years, I've had really good friends who are guides. And we've been at either 5 o'clock in the morning or at midnight. So when there are no people. So I'm really interested in the artistic nature of it. I find the puja part of it just crazy. It's too much. I can't bear it. And I think over time, it's becoming more and more of an absolute mala because it's like a brand takeover. So that's a different matter altogether. But what I love going to Calcutta for now is having gotten involved in Baro and now Baro Market, I have met and now know so many incredible small designers and artisans and craftspeople. And I love what's going on there. I mean, it's a city that for many people they think it's a dead or dying city because there's no industry there. But I love the fact that it's alive with small and local entrepreneurship. And I am very, very appreciative and envious of a completely different kind of an ambition. And that ambition is to do with quality of life, which we don't have when we get into the more conventional rat race of a commercial world. And all these young people and other people in Calcutta that I work with now are very clear that they work on their terms and they work so that their lifestyle is supported and it's not their lifestyle to work. So there's much less greed, which you can also translate as less ambition. But I prefer to think of it as a completely different ambition, an ambition to really grow and learn and enjoy what you're doing. And I love seeing that. I don't know whether I could do that my entire life. I haven't experimented and I'm not sure, but I really love being a part of it when I'm there and seeing it. And it's a completely different introduction to another part of the world and the city there that I didn't have as a child.
So in Baro, do you only have Bengali art or it's from all across?
No, not at all. Even though, so what you actually are talking about Baro Market and not Baro, because Baro as the store shut down. But I've worked with several folk and traditional artists for many years because I loved it. And just when I was working with people doing homes that I work on interiors, etc., I'd use a lot of this art. So I knew these artists and I was introduced to them by a lady called Anu Sorabji, who's phenomenal in what she's done for them. And therefore I was spoken for. So that's a big thing. There's a big trust thing. So when in Baro Market, I wanted to actually bring this all together, they never questioned the fact that I asked for things that we were keeping on consignment. We talked about orders. I talked about changes in some of the traditional ways of doing things. And we have 10 artists that we actually represent or, you know, have always represented. And that changes and grows. But these 10 come from all parts of the country. I mean, there's different art forms. So there's Fud and Molila Terracotta from Rajasthan. There's Matani Pacheri from Gujarat. There's Gond from Madhya Pradesh. And the Garwa Kam or the metalwork from Bastar. And there's Pottachitra from Orissa. And from Bengal, there's Terracotta. There's a very well-known Kalighat and Pottachitra artist.
Yes.
And another more folksy Pottachitra family. So that's what we have always had. I know all these artists really well. And we're working with a lot of, you know, we're in the process of getting some other forms and other artists on board who we don't know well, but are getting, you know, getting involved with.
So what is the response like? You know, I mean, are you looking at only Indian customers but Baro market, I'm sure. What has been the response? Have you found more people from the international market seeking the products, or has it been a very, very, you know, similar sort of an experience also in India?
Well, we're a very new organization. We're about 8 months old.
Okay.
And we had a plan in how we wanted to do this. So we didn't come loaded with funds, which means that we're going slowly and organically, okay. Not with a huge burst of funds that are taking you out to everywhere. What is the big thing about online shops? People have to know about you. So it's growing slowly, and obviously, therefore, it's started from the community we already have, which is largely local to not just Bombay, but all over India. So our concentration or what we want is to really grow that. We've had a lot of clients and customers from overseas as well, but they're mainly Indian.
Indians who live abroad.
Yes. We have a lot of foreigners that are also non-Indians who are also interested in what we do. Most of them are people who have either lived in India or are in India because that's how they know about us, but that's how it spreads. Also, we're not yet a website yet or a marketing place yet that is able to, for all kinds of complicated reasons, sell directly overseas. So when somebody overseas is interested in something, they get in touch with us and we have to get a separate courier quote. So those are reasons why it isn't as widespread internationally as we'd like, but we're concentrating on first growing to what we'd like to be in India.
What is the whole idea that you have about when you say growing in India? Is there a certain market that you have, or is a store that you think that you, you know, would want to be like?
No, there's no other store we want to be like. I just want to be like Baro Market, which okay. is it's honest and authentic. We work with real design, art and craft of people who are all either making it themselves or working in collaboration with people who make it themselves. I'm very clear that prices have to be sensible. So some things might be expensive, but there's a reason why they're expensive. It's not because you want to make a lot of profit. We look for new things. We try to have things that are not easily available everywhere. And what we like very much is to have opportunities as much as possible to get into what is really the difference, which is, you know, people being able to touch and feel, because that's the great experience. I think our hallmark is that every single thing has a story. And that story is what you need to engage with. And that's what makes it so important and what you get passionate about. And it's greatest when that story becomes part of your own story.
Absolutely.
That's how we operate. And it's been a very collaborative. You learn every day. You're growing all the time. There are many ideas we have. We started in the worst part of human history.
Yes,
so
absolutely.
The fact that we've been able to go through this and still have people come on board. And it's a hard time to actually feel that you want to sell something to somebody when so many people are dying, have so much hardship, it's so terrible. So it feels a bit strange to say buy something. But we've tried to say that, you know, at this time, buy things that make sense for other people and
Absolutely.
You're spreading good. So last month, we had the most fantastic, uplifting experience because we actually highlighted 10 different, these 10 artists I told you about, 8 of whom are masters in their particular art form. And what we wanted to do was to raise funds for them because they are going through hell at this time. What we did was we selected works from each one of them and we made it into like a Chitrakar relief sale. And anybody who bought something paid directly to the artist. So they knew that they were supporting the artist, that there was absolutely no deductions on commission on anything. And it was a really, really great success in terms of just how many people responded, how much was sold. And then we went on to sell over and above the relief sale, just in art that people saw and loved. So that was a really heartening experience. And it was such a great push for all of us at the team at Baro Market, because it was suddenly really a reason to do something and put your full energy into.
What are the kind of furniture that you like, or are, you know, something that you really, really like? So would you like to share with us, you know, what is it that is your favorite?
Kind of art. I'm currently very excited by folk and tribal art, but art has been like a drug for me for years, from the early 90s. So I'm surrounded by it everywhere, where I work, where I live, where I'm doing anything. There's a lot of art, which I live with. It's not something that is alien or you feel has to be behind lock and key and nobody. I like to share it. I love other people's, the way it influences other people, other people's reactions to it. So there's really all kinds of art, and the vast majority of it is Indian art and, you know, contemporary or Indian art. But I've also had pieces of art that I've loved and got from other parts of the world when I've traveled. And in terms of furniture, I like furniture that is classic in its design, but can get totally reinterpreted by just fabric, colors I use, things I add to it, bits and pieces of change you make to it. And I also love adding in pieces of art deco, which is just beautiful, but can be too much. But a few pieces added into what you're doing is lovely. I don't like a style to be rigid. I like it to be mixed and to have a feel of just the various phases of your life and the things you react to. And I don't like things that are built in, so that I can keep changing and it gets a new life because you've moved it around. So that's more or less the way I approach design.
Which is fantastic. And obviously, when I'm talking to you, I can see the entire evolution of you as a human being, as a person, as a, you know, a person with the values and, you know, that have stayed intact, and your vision towards your own self that has changed while we are talking. And it's amazing. And I have to tell you something, Srila, that this is an absolute honor for me to have you on my podcast, because I have to narrate this to you, because you know what? I gave up my work very, very, you know, for very long. And for me, about coming back to writing and talking about art, textiles and arts and crafts and gender has been something that is also an awakening for me, where today I'm no longer working for money, but I'm working for a voice, you know, for people whose voices are completely lost in this entire din of advertising and language and the rest of it. Because just like you, for me also, it's a rebirth. I'm reclaiming myself all over again. You know, I used to be in advertising and I have done a job in which there was a salary. And today it is something that's purely from my heart. And I remember many, many years back when I was really, really, you know, confused about life, and I don't know where I started losing myself and my self-confidence and all of those things, because the minute a woman doesn't earn, the sense of value and validity just keeps reducing inside you. And I remember seeing you in the Jodhpur festival in Rajasthan, you know, for and because I remember an amazing, and I have to say this on the podcast, because you know, I was going through a really rough day in Bombay and I'd gone into Blue Frog, and I had heard Karsh Kale and Papun, I think Papun for the first time was coming onto stage, and you know, they had jammed together. And I'd gone with one of my advertising colleagues and he said, oh, she's another Bengali like you called Srila Chatterjee, you know. And then I read articles about you, and then I saw you in Rajasthan in Jodhpur. And of course, you occupy the space that you're in. And yes, you do, you know. And I was in awe. And I wanted to go up and talk to you. But then again, you know, we're so caught up and I just felt it would be so random. And it is...
You must always be random.
I know. You know, it's just taken me so many years now to even understand and realize that, you know, it's so much more easier when you just pick up and you talk. And I'm just... You know, some few of these connections and associations for me from the time I began writing has been almost mystical. And, you know, you're somebody that I used to admire. And I never knew
that.
I
hope you still do.
I still do, yes. But, you know, there was this, I had an exalted position of you in my heart and in myself. And I never thought that we would connect and we would be on this podcast together. So I do believe that there is a universal pull when you do something not for money and just for your passion. And something that you believe in.
This coming together is out of that Chitrakar sale because you want to buy a picture and we just talked about it.
Yes, yes. So to me, this is a very, very special podcast. And yes, it's a very special podcast. I really need to thank you. And I really hope there are more thoughtful people like you with a deep understanding, you know, of the craft tradition of our country and elsewhere. And someone who understands the value of what the artisans are making. So I really pray for Baro to be in every home that values, you know, stories behind the pieces that they buy. Thank you so very much.
Thank you. Lovely to talk to you. Keep on doing what you believe in.
Yes. And see you soon. And I hope you come down to Bangalore because I'm looking forward to having you over at home.
Oh, lovely. And, I have a broken leg at the moment. So as soon as
whenever
I can walk.
Whenever that gets better, get well soon. And once the world heals, we're going to meet up soon.
Okay, lovely. Thank you.